Someone has wisely said the two most dangerous days in a person's life are yesterday and tomorrow. As a pastor, I have seen many people living in the two most dangerous days of their life. I myself have had to be very careful of not doing that. It is sad indeed to see people living upon the experiences of the past. People depending for spiritual vitality upon a revival of yesteryear. In the past, they have yielded to the Lord, made that all-important decision to receive Christ as personal Savior, and thus received a blessing from God. But none can remain spiritually healthy by feeding only upon memories of the past. It is wonderful to have precious memories, but we cannot make spiritual progress now by living in the past. On the other hand, we have those who are continually living in the future. Tomorrow they will get right with the Lord. Tomorrow they will make that decision to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Tomorrow they will begin a program of personal Bible study. Tomorrow they will begin having their quiet time with the Lord. Tomorrow. Tomorrow. Do you see the error and the waste of this attitude? While these people are living in yesterday and tomorrow, they have lost the day of greatest opportunity. Today. Your Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you will receive Christ as your Savior, then it can be said of you, as it was said of Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to this house." By reading the Bible and spending time in prayer, today can become a day of spiritual growth. By investing our time, money, and prayers in home and foreign missions, today we can be sowing for a day of harvest. By witnessing and living for Christ where you are, today can be a day of blessing. As believers, we are to redeem the time. Fellow believer, do not allow yourself to waste today. And I might say that to those of you who are not Christians. Do not waste today. Receive Christ today as your Savior. And let us use this day for the glory and service of our Savior.
Freely give, I will ever love and
We at Shannon Hills Chapel have a desire to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to proclaim faithfully the Word of God. Shannon Hills Chapel is located at 900 West Vandalia Road at Rehoboth Church Road, just off I-85. Shannon Hills Chapel is east of I-85 at exit 123. We begin our activities each Sunday with the Lord's Supper at 9:30. This is a time whereby believers come together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, as He has commanded us to do. Then at 11 o'clock, we have what is called the Family Bible Hour. Many families, many people have expressed their appreciation for this combined Sunday school and preaching service. At this 11 o'clock Family Bible Hour, we have classes for all ages, including high school and college level. And rest assured that each teacher is screened very carefully, and each teacher has a deep concern for the spiritual well-being of every member of the family. We thank God for those who serve in any way at Shannon Hills Chapel, and we thank the Lord for our teachers, our faithful teachers. And as we said before, you can rest assured that the Word of God will be taught and preached faithfully. So we have classes for all ages, including high school and college level, and these classes are geared according to the regular school system. And as we said, we have preaching for the adults, too, at this 11 o'clock hour. And this morning, Mr. Charles Crawford, one of our elders and a good preacher of the Word of God, will be bringing the message at the 11 o'clock service. The chapel teens meet each Sunday evening at 6 p.m., followed by the Sunday night family evangelistic service. Here again, we have a meeting for children ages 5 through 10, and we have nurseries for the babies and toddlers at all of our services at Shannon Hills Chapel. Last Sunday night at 7:30, we talked about a man who came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, had a conversation with Him, and went away grieved and very sorrowful. Tonight at the 7:30 service, Lord willing, I will be speaking on the man who opened the Word of God, who learned about Christ and received Him as his Savior. And quite contrary to the one of last week, this man went on his way rejoicing. This will be at 7:30 service tonight. Then on Wednesday night, we meet for a time of collective prayer followed by the study of the Word of God. And this midweek service is at 7:30 also. So we extend to you this invitation to meet with us at Shannon Hills Chapel, where a warm welcome awaits you.
Thank you.
from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word reconciliation in the scriptures mean to cause to conform to a standard, to be adjusted to a specified standard. And it is the divine standard at that, because God himself is the standard. This morning, when having my breakfast, I glanced at my watch and wondered if it were the correct time. I looked at the clock on the wall. The two were not the same. I looked at the clock on the stove. That too was different. My wife went back to the bedroom and checked two other clocks. They too were different. We finally called over the telephone to get what we thought was the correct time. And usually on Sunday mornings when I come to the radio station here, I check my watch with the clock on the wall, because the clock here in the studio is geared according to the CBS radio time, and believing it to be accurate, I adjust my watch to conform to the clock here at the radio station. That is, I reconcile my watch to the clock. The Bible speaks of the need of and the provision for man being reconciled to God. According to the Word of God, the world is out of balance. Mankind is at a distance from God and needs to be reconciled to himself. Think of what would happen if all radio stations, television stations, offices of government, railroads, airlines, business establishments, and individuals were to have their own time standard. There would be utter confusion in the world. And yet when we come to the Word of God, we find that is exactly what man has done in setting up his own standard and declaring his independence of God. God created man, and all that man was and all that he had came from God. Therefore, man's proper attitude toward God was one of complete dependence upon him. But the first man, Adam, in disobeying God, sinned and hid himself from God. A change had taken place within Adam. He had become estranged from God. He had alienated himself from his Creator. Fear of God had taken place of love, confidence, and trust. Instead of drawing near to God, he drew away from him. By his sin, Adam became far off from God. Friendship with God, with accompanying communion, companionship, fellowship, and intimacy were lost and replaced by enmity and estrangement. As Adam passed his sinful nature onto his posterity, so also with it he passed along the state of alienation from God and the feeling of fear of him. The Word of God teaches that we are born sinners. Now, some people might not like that, but the Word of God teaches that. Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Man's sin consisted in a declaration of independence of God and dependence upon self. This attitude taken by man is nothing less than a rebellion against God and his sovereignty, or government, over man, including his provision for man. When any group of people declares its independence of a government under which they have lived, it is a rebellion. If and when they are able to establish their independence and exist as a separate government, then their action partakes of the nature of a revolution. Man has never been able to establish an independent existence apart from God. Some might think so. But as long as man cannot exist without God's sunshine, his air, his rain, man cannot claim to be independent of God. All independence of God by man, then, is and must be in the nature of rebellion against him. Adam sinned and hid himself from God, and he heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God said, "Adam, where art thou?" Even then God was seeking fellowship with his creature. And God has been seeking mankind since, to reconcile man unto himself. But man in his sinful condition is unable to conform to God's divine standard. And so God had to accomplish a work whereby man could be judged and condemned as a sinner, and yet forgiven, and be brought into fellowship and communion with him, or reconciled to God. The fact that the world does not conform to God's divine standard is pictured for us very graphically in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, where the Apostle Paul presents many details concerning the doctrine of reconciliation. We read in that verse, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." There are two statements in that verse which emphasize the fact that we do not conform to the divine standard. Paul says, first of all, we were without strength, and secondly, we were ungodly. The phrase "without strength" emphasizes our weakness, our total, complete inability to render ourselves acceptable to God. And in the word "ungodly," Paul emphasizes the fact that we actually do not conform to God's standard. We are ungodly. Many people believe that having their sins forgiven, being brought into a right relationship with God, and having a home in heaven depends on living a good life. And yet, when pinned down, many will confess that their life at present is not good enough. But they're always promising themselves that they will live a better life in the future, tomorrow. And on that basis of that life, they hope to be accepted by God. But his word declares that we are without strength and ungodly. We do not conform, and we do not have the ability to do so. Paul continues in verses 7 and 8 of Romans chapter 5. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth," or proved, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There we have the third evidence that we do not conform to God's standard. For Paul says that we were sinners. He emphasizes not only the nature which controls us, but also the products of that nature. In verse 9, he continues, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." This gives us the fourth reason why we need to be reconciled to God. As sinners, we are objects of divine wrath. God passed a sentence upon all who are weak and ungodly, and all who are sinners. No one is excluded, because in chapter 3 of Romans, Paul states, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The divine judgment upon sin is divine wrath. And so the Bible declares that as sinners we are objects of divine wrath. One need not go far to find evidence that mankind is still in that estranged relationship to God. The evidence of man's fear for God can be multiplied a thousandfold from Adam. Every effort on the part of man to appease God, and every effort to do something to gain God's favor, is a witness to man's alienation from him. Every fear of death and the judgment to come testifies to the broken harmony between God and man. Since the Word of God states that all are without strength to make themselves right before God, and all are ungodly and sinners, and as such, we are the objects of divine wrath, what hope is there for us? How can we be saved? How can we be reconciled to God and be brought into fellowship and communion with himself? As we stated before, God had to accomplish a work whereby man could be condemned as a sinner and yet forgiven and reconciled to God. Let us read these verses in Romans chapter 5 again, beginning with verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And reading on from verse 10, we find, For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or reconciliation. Over and over in the New Testament we read that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God judged the world in the person of his dear Son. The wrath of God fell upon Christ when he was upon that cross, because he was there in our place. Sometimes men are called upon to make their peace with God. There is nothing in the Bible on which to base that appeal. In fact, it contradicts the statements that Christ is our peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we read, For he is our peace. And that he in his flesh has abolished the enmity and so made peace. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 we find, And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Though man cannot make his peace with God, he must by an act of his will accept the peace that has been made on his behalf by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter tells us in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 18, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. When Christ died upon that tree, all the world was brought into a savable position. All the world is not saved, but all the world could be saved, if everyone in the world were to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Have you received him, friend? Have you made that personal identification with the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone has written, A mind at perfect peace with God. Oh, what a word is this. A sinner reconciled through blood. This indeed is peace. By nature and by practice far, How very far from God, yet now by grace brought nigh to him through faith in Jesus' blood. So near, so very near to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son, I'm as near as he. So dear, so very dear to God, more dear I cannot be, the love wherewith he loves the Son, such is his love to me. Why should I ever careful be, since such a God is mine? He watches o'er me night and day and tells me, Mine is thine.
When I think of my Savior's great love,
His love is so sweet, makes my joy.